Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders on this Sunday of Christmas Eve. The service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order tapes or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Those words are familiar, aren't they? Stay tuned. We're going to center our whole program on this one great verse today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we thank you that you move in mysterious ways, your wonders to perform. We thank you in this miraculous way you have come into this world in the person of Jesus Christ, to be born in a manger, to die on a cross, and to be raised again, that we might know the forgiveness of our sins and live with the assurance that we are God's forever. Lord, we thank you for your gift to us, and in this Christmastide, fill our hearts with joy as we once again celebrate the birth of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, whose name is Jesus. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the first chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, beginning with verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. You will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, there are two ways to celebrate Christmas. You think of Christmas as the birthday of a religious leader who made a great impact on the world. This is a non-Christian understanding of the day. George Washington was born, Abraham Lincoln was born, and now Jesus Christ has been born. Or as a Christian, you confess that Christmas is that festival where we celebrate God's coming to earth in the person of a baby to redeem the world and offer salvation to all who receive him as Savior and Lord. When Christmas only marks the birth of another great person, there is little mystery about the day. But when we think of Christmas as God's coming to earth in the person of the Christ child, we stand in awe, asking, what does this really mean? And what happened that day in Bethlehem when Jesus Christ was born? If there was anyone who did not know what was happening, it had to be Joseph. Jesus' genealogy says, "And Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ." Now the Bible tells us that Joseph was a very righteous man who was pledged to Mary. The pledge can be compared to our engagement. It was a period, usually 1 year in length, where these two young people were getting acquainted with one another. During that time, they were committed to each other, but there was to be no sexual activity. Then when the year was up, they came together publicly and began living as husband and wife. It was while Mary and Joseph was in that time of the pledge that she was found to be with child. Now, what did this mean to a young couple? Joseph was a carpenter and had little formal education. And this whole understanding of immaculate conception was theological language and too much for him to understand, so he began making plans as to how he could best handle it. He loved Mary, and he wanted her to have the least embarrassment possible. So Joseph concluded that he would divorce her quietly. But then God sent a message to Joseph through an angel saying, "Joseph, son of David," note here the reference to the genealogy, "do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name of Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." With these words, the Christian understands that this is not just another birth. This is God's way of coming to earth to offer salvation to all people. It tells us that God is not limited to our way of doing things, and he moves in mysterious ways his missions to perform. The miracle, the mystery of that birth, makes us stand in awe. God was to enter into this world to offer us salvation. That is, that we can be restored into a personal relationship with our Creator by grace through faith in this Christ child. Life teaches us that God's ways are far beyond our understanding. Once he took a shepherd boy named David and made him Israel's greatest king. Now on this occasion, he takes an unknown maiden and made her the mother of Jesus in the flesh, the God incarnate. Who can understand this mystery? Many of us have asked the question, or we have been asked this question, can we as intelligent people really believe in miracles? It was a noted Oxford scholar by the name of C.S. Lewis who asked, we must first ask the question, are miracles possible? Now, a miracle is an extraordinary event manifesting divine intervention. God has acted. The event is not contrary to nature, but only what we know about nature. If we do not believe in miracles, there is no possibility to be a Christian. Christianity is based on God's miraculous act. The birth and resurrection of Jesus Christ are two of these miracles which have often sent me away from the pulpit feeling that I have done a most inadequate job of presenting the glorious truths of the Christmas and the Easter days. How can we explain these miracles? The answer is very clear. We can't. But God's grace gives us the power to believe them, and they become for us the solid foundation for our faith. To celebrate Christmas is more, my friend, than reviewing the history of Jesus' birth. Celebrating Christmas is a spiritual experience. Christ has come to open for us the door to heaven. And the Christmas gospel never, never changes. But the circumstances under which you and I hear that Christmas gospel change from year to year. Think back in your life. When did you hear the Christmas gospel first? Did you hear it from your mother and your father in your home? If so, you have been a very fortunate person, and I was one of those fortunate people. Did you go to a church where the Christmas gospel was really talked about, and you had a Christmas program as a child, and you were given a piece to stand up and speak or a song to sing? Did you have the old Sunday school superintendent standing up there making the announcements? And here was this glorious evening together in the church. And you went home probably with a bag of candy, which meant a great deal. But in your heart there had been planted a seed. As a child you learned that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem of Judea to be your Savior. And then comes the days of youth, right? If that were not the first time you heard it, you may have been thinking back over those days when you as a child really believed that Jesus was the Son of God and the Savior of the world. But now you have become 16, 17, 18, and you no longer played with dolls, and you no longer played with trucks. You had thrown them aside. Now should you not also throw aside this glorious message that God had come to this world in the person of Jesus Christ? Maybe there were some of your friends who scoffed and said, you don't believe that anymore, do you? That was all right when you were a kid, but grow up. Grow up and learn that there are things that are quite different than what we were told when we were just kids. Now, I tell you, you begin to wonder, don't you? Maybe that's where Christmas finds some of you young people today. But let me tell you, the Christmas gospel is still here, and our Lord Jesus Christ, who is no longer a child, But the God who has returned to his heavenly home speaks to you today through his word, and he says, if you're walking away from me as a young person, return. You're not that far away now. Christmas can be seen through the noise and the glamour of the party. And that is not always the kind of a behavior that God wants you to have. That isn't true happiness, where perhaps you go home half drunk. That isn't true happiness where you would not acknowledge him as the Savior and the Lord. He has come to give you true happiness and the abundant life. Turn is a plea to you young people today. Turn back to him who has come to be your Savior. Maybe you're a business person who forgot about the Christ child and is thinking, became very confused. I know of one who is that way today. He lived beyond his means. On Sunday, he worshiped in the church, but on Monday, he stole from his clients, and today, he sits in a prison cell. The first time he will celebrate Christmas behind the bars. There are many who would condemn him. But do you know the Christmas gospel is right there, and Jesus Christ stands right beside that man as he sits there in his cell? And what is it he says? I came to forgive your sins. There is still hope. Life can begin again. That's what the angel meant when he said to Joseph, he will save his people from their sins. Christ can be experienced through the bars of a prison cell. That's the glorious gospel. And that's where our Lord wants the gospel to ring today. For those of you who have broken the law and now are paying your due to society, remember that the Lord has not given up on you. He loves you. He has a future for you. He will forgive you. And that's why he came to this earth. Maybe it's as a retiree. I have a good friend. He was successful as a law enforcement officer. He rose to high ranks in the Iowa Highway Patrol. Then just when he and his wife were going to have those golden years together, the doctor informed him, now nearly a year ago, that he had a fast-growing malignancy. As I stood beside his bed the other day and asked him how it was going, he said, I am just trusting the Lord and leaving it all in his hands. Yes, Christmas can be experienced anew as you lie on your deathbed, listening to the angelic host as they continue to sing, Fear not, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And you can respond and say, Come, Lord Jesus, come and take me home. You see, the Christmas gospel is the same, but the circumstances are different. 70-some years ago, that man who lay on a bed waiting for the Lord to come and get him was one of those little children who stood in a church and said his peace. And he probably went through some of those days, like so many have, of a little bit of rebellion in youth, and then finally the Holy Spirit saying to him, Come now, trust him. And under the circumstances that are not pleasant, having to say goodbye to this family that he loves, he knows that there has been born to him a Savior who will take him home. Could come as a person at the end of the road. Let me close this sermon by telling you of a Christmas Eve that I didn't come home until early Christmas morning. I'd preached to over 4,000 people in our church at the four services that we had scheduled there. It was always a great experience to see all these people around. There they sang Silent Night, Holy Night. They lit their candles and they listened to the choir, the anthem telling the story of Jesus' birth, and a soloist who cried out with some of those most marvelous, marvelous songs of this season of the year. Well, it had been a great time. We'd started in the middle of the afternoon, and now it was midnight. And as I was walking out of the church, there was a voice that came from a lounge. It was dark right there. I froze. Someone was going to rob the church. The person knew that we had taken an offering at each one of our services, and there was a lot of money in that building. So many thoughts went through my head that I hardly heard the voice of a man who said, "Pastor Larson, do you have time to talk to me tonight?" There he was. I hardly recognized him, for it had been many years since I had him in my confirmation class. He had walked away from Christ and the church. Now he was divorced, separated pretty much from two wonderful children, had little to do with his father and mother, had battled alcohol. To use his words that night in the darkness of that lounge, "My life is a mess, Pastor. But I just wanted you to know that tonight in the service, I gave my life to Jesus." I tell you, we sat down in the lounge and talked and talked and prayed. And then that night he just said again, "Oh, come, Lord Jesus, into my heart." No, it was not the emotionalism of the Christmas Eve service that had caught him, and in a few days we would see him no more. No, sir. This man continued to grow in his faith. One day he married a Christian lady, and together they served the Lord. There's a new song in their hearts and new smiles on their face, because they know now the meaning of Christmas, the Christmas story. Christ has come to save us from our sins and to make us new people in Him. You know, we have our different relationships with Jesus Christ, without a doubt, as we take a look at the individual lives. The Christmas gospel is the same today as it ever was, but it's not the same for you, because your circumstance is different, and it addresses you in various ways with certain needs. Whatever your needs are, come to the manger and listen again to the angelic voice. There has been born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. He loves you. He wants you in His kingdom. Whether you're a little child, a youth, a businessman gone astray, a person who is dying, or a young man whose heart has just been touched with the gospel, may you have a blessed Christmas. Amen.
Oh,
Lord, we thank you today for that tremendous gift, your Son. O Lord, we pray that our hearts may be warmed to know that there is a Savior who does love us, one who truly cares for us, one who will never forsake us nor leave us. Our lives are lived in different ways. Our circumstances tonight are different. Maybe it's a little child. Grant that as adults we can tell them the story of Jesus. Maybe it's a youth who is wondering what it really is all about. Maybe it is a business person who has gone astray. Maybe it is someone who is about to breathe his last. Come, Lord Jesus, come, and let them know the true meaning that there has been born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that you are having a joyous Christmas weekend. We pray for the safe travel of our listeners and their families as they gather to celebrate God's incredible gift to the world. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit radio ministry supported entirely by our faithful listening family. As we reflect on this past year, we express a special thanks to you, each of you, who have sent a financial gift or prayed for our ministry this year. Both are vital for the important work of spreading the gospel message and opening hearts to the work of the Holy Spirit. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will help cover the mailing and production costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 38 years.